After the motion was withdrawn at their last meeting, council revisited Councillor Connie Glenn's proposal to establish child safety zones in Kingston. The original motion asked staff to recommend amendments to the city's parks bylaw and community standards bylaw to create child safety zones, also known as sensitive use zones, within 50 meters of playgrounds, schools, daycares, splash pads, and children's sports fields. These zones would prohibit temporary shelters, the possession or use of drug paraphernalia, and open-air drug use in those areas. That motion was pulled after fellow councillors raised concerns about the ability to enforce additional measures and legal risk, especially concerning whether such restrictions could conflict with existing court orders around sheltering in public spaces. Taking that feedback, Glenn brought the motion back, this time with a different direction for staff. The revised motion asked staff to return with a legal opinion outlining the risks and limitations of passing bylaws that prohibit high-risk activities, such as erecting shelter, using or displaying drug paraphernalia, or consuming illegal substances within defined child safety zones, possible measures to reduce those risks, including alternatives for addressing encampments in public spaces, and how much of these prohibitions are already covered or restricted by existing federal, provincial, or municipal law. With this, staff would also provide options for council, either bylaw amendments or other approaches that could improve protection from high-risk activities within child safety zones. Delegation spoke before council, offering perspectives both for and against the new direction. Kingston residents Kevin Smith and Melissa Reed said the following before council.
I have lived experience with homelessness and have seen this issue firsthand. I've walked through parks and public spaces and seen things no child or even adult should have to see. This motion represents balance, keeping our parks and playgrounds safe for children, while also showing understanding towards those who are struggling. Kingston has the opportunity to set an example for other cities by doing both.
Where's the infrastructure? Where's the consultation? Where's the trauma-informed service hub that should have preceded this motion? We wouldn't want people in the city to think that we lacked creative imagination. And yet here we are, debating a motion with no solutions, no new solutions, no new infrastructure, and no new vision for the people that live here.
Glenn made her case, emphasizing balance and the need to prevent children's exposure to high-risk activities.
I'm hoping that what my colleagues will see is that I took to heart their concerns. So this motion right now is about coming back with opinions and options and about continuing this conversation. Because the rights of one group shouldn't outweigh the rights of another. We have an opportunity to start to stem the tide. We know that exposure at an early age to these things is something that triggers it. Public health is invested, and our entire community, for that matter, is invested in, you know, basically controlling adverse childhood exposures and impacts. And so through those programs, we're working on that. So I'd like to ask my colleagues to join me in helping to explore the options for continued conversation about how we can balance the rights of both children and the others in our community to make this a broader conversation about opioid and drug use, which isn't just in the homeless population, but amongst the entire population of Kingston, unfortunately. And how we can work together to ensure safety in playgrounds, which should be joyful, fun places for our children to grow, learn, and explore.
However, some councillors were still hesitant. Councillor Ryan Boehm voiced multiple concerns, particularly around rights, enforceability, and the risk of pitting vulnerable groups against one another.
We can have all these rules, but it's the enforcement aspect that we're always going to struggle with. So whether it's 15 meters, 50 meters, or 500 meters, the whole thing here is we're really ultimately, and this is where I really struggle with it, is we're pitting two vulnerable populations against each other. I have five kids. I definitely want them to be safe in parks. I want them to be able to play and not step on, you know, broken glass and stuff like that. But I also have to be cognizant that the people that are part of the other vulnerable population that we're talking about don't have the supports needed to break away from that life. So there's a whole systematic breakdown here. And I'm just not sure that we're approaching this the right way. I just don't know how you're going to apply this. Short of somebody doing open drug use in a park, which I'm pretty sure is already illegal. I just don't actually think this is actually really going to do anything at the end of the day. I think this is just, it's like a little bit of grandstanding where we say we're doing something, but are we actually really doing anything effective?
Others, like counselors Brandon Tozzo and Gregory Ridge, argued that simply gathering information posed no harm, and that counsel needed clarity before making any decisions.
We're not going to solve a mental health and addiction issue around this horseshoe. The crisis of mental health and addictions, like I think we had staff do a budget of how much it would cost to solve it. I think it's somewhere in the ballpark of $500 million. We're going to move the dial a bit in one direction or a bit in another. And that's, I think, where we can do. We can try to make our communities a bit better and a bit safer. More information is always better. If there's a legal opinion on anything further we can do, I have no problem going back to our legal team and getting that information and then making decisions based on that.
I think everybody wants children to be safe, and we're struggling with a number of pieces around enforcement and I get a lot of feedback from parents in my community about that, certainly. I am happy to support this motion simply because of the question that was raised by Councillor Bum about enforcement, right? So if we can get more clear legal opinions on what enforcement methods are available when they are necessary.
Mayor Brian Patterson introduced an amendment to the motion, expanding the scope to include other public spaces beyond those listed by Councillor Glenn.
So when we're asking for a legal opinion on the risks and limitations about, you know, creating these child safety zones, including within a specified distance of public playgrounds, schools, splash pads, and children's sports fields, I've just would propose that we also add the wording "and other public places." The reason for that is that the children don't just go to public playgrounds and they don't just go to schools and splash pads and sports fields. Children also walk down the sidewalk. Children also go downtown. Children also go to other public places along with adults. In fact, some of the biggest concerns that I have faced are not just what some families and kids have encountered in public parks, but also even just walking down the street. I had one father and daughter who came right into City Hall and talked about what they had seen happen just right out in the square behind this this building. So I think that I think we should look at it. Again, other cities have done this, so I don't think it's unreasonable to look at this approach. But I do think expanding just to add other public places, again, would just broaden the discussion just to say, should we be looking at any other places, public places as well?
This amendment was well supported by those already in favor of the motion, and counselors who had hesitated said this broadened the discussion and prevented the issue from targeting specific groups.
To me, this is just a consideration about getting as much information as possible and seeing what more can be done. This doesn't necessarily, to me, show that we're planning on moving forward with any plan of action. But what Councillor Bohm did say earlier about the enforcement piece, I think this gives it a broader scope and it allows councillors to have additional information.
I actually can support this amendment, and I think it actually increases the scope of this to just create a safe city for all and doesn't pit people against each other. If it's safe for children to be kind of everywhere, well, then by virtue of that, it's safe for all of us to be there. So with this amendment, I could support the original motion. So I do hope that it passes. I think it actually broadens the discussion and really doesn't pit one vulnerable group against another the way the previous, without this amendment, the motion can kind of be sort of contrived.
Glenn accepted the amendment while clarifying that her goal was still to focus specifically on providing additional protections for youth.
So I'll let it go through if people are going to support it, because we are not at the point of making a decision about what we're doing. I do want to increase safety throughout the community, but so many of the other things that we need to do to improve safety are around mental health, addiction supports, housing, all of those things. But right now, I think our children deserve a little extra protection, which is why there was specific wording.
With the amendment, the motion carried with a vote of 12-1, with Councillor Shaves being the sole vote opposed.
So I'm hoping that we will see some options and opportunities to improve the situation for children and youth, and to make sure that they move ahead unburdened by addiction issues, that they get the supports they need. And I know that we will all continue to advocate for the mental health and addiction supports that the rest of the vulnerable community needs. And hopefully we will see both national and provincial responses. I think they're dearly needed. We're all struggling with this issue. But I'm grateful that what we're going to be doing is responding to the concerns of our community in a thoughtful and legitimate way, letting them know that we are trying to find a way forward. It is not easy, and this is not about trying to polarize the community. It is about saying, what else can we do with the powers that we do have available to us?
Staff will analyze these spaces both in their totality and individually and return to council with a legal opinion and options for moving forward. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.